We're going to be looking at something today which I, you know, sort of like, I didn't argue, but then I was asking the Lord, why a topic like this? You know, so I didn't get a response. I was trying to search. In fact, I had searched till almost 5 a.m. And he was still not minding me. So I just presumed that he wanted me to teach what I'm about to teach. I thought he would have said, okay, maybe teach something else. I'll give you another thing to teach so you can teach it another time. But then unfortunately, he gives me this only. So you see, when you're asking someone a question, the person is quiet, you should know what to do. It means I won't mind you. Just go and do what I asked you to do. So I got up quickly and then I tried to cook it together. So today we're going to be looking at something, but before I do the explanations, which is purely a biblical concept that we should see and pay attention to. Maybe I believe that God is trying to do something. You know, sometimes he tells you something and you don't know what he's up to, but then he just wants you to trust him that I've told you to do it. So just do it. So Matthew 28 is going to be something that I start with before I give you the subject of what we're dealing with this morning. Matthew 28. And I was saying that this is going to extend to next week. Okay. Matthew 28. Somebody might be asking, why are you teaching this? Of course, we're going to come to understand why. Matthew 28, and we're going to read from verses 18 downwards. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So we're going to look into that. So go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So this is Jesus saying that there is an instruction to go and teach. Of course, he's talking to his disciples. I need you to pay attention because, you know, many of the times we do a lot of things without understanding why. And when you don't understand why, it doesn't help you. So these are one of those Sundays where we get to understand why. So he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then he now says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. You're not going to teach them some things. You're going to teach them to observe all things. All things. So you teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the teaching is going to be what? All things. The teachings is going to be all things. Teaching is going to be all things. Now the word teaching there is the word didasko in Greek. Somebody says, why do you share Greek words? It's quite simple. It's not to prove that one is theologically sound. That's not the intent. The intent is that whenever a Greek word is given and we understudy that word, it gives us much clearer insight and meaning to what the word is trying to say or what the word said then. right? So we try to understand it the closest in the language which it was written. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. So the reason why we will quote some Hebrew words or some Greek words is because we want to go to the closest translation of the word. We want to understand the word in the way the word was translated before we now understand it in our English context. Do we understand? All right. Because there are certain times, let me say, for example, if we say stop, or let me say crazy. You know, 20 years ago, if you told someone, you're crazy. The person is going to say, you are insulting me. Because, of course, the word crazy then was more known for what it means now. Or, let's say, mad. Right? Mad, we all know what mad means. But then today, someone says, Charlie, mad, oh. Then we are all happy. We all know what mad means, right? Mad can mean something now that it didn't mean then. So if we want to understand what is going on, we will have to understand the word in the closest word that it was written in. Then it makes more sense to us in English language. Today, if you stand and say, Charlie, mad, oh, mad. Somebody say, oh, Charlie, mad. Charlie, you mad, oh. And you mad can mean, Charlie, you've dressed like some serious boy. You dress. You know, someone's going to say, Charlie, she be bad. And bad might not necessarily mean bad. So in this generation, when somebody uses a word, you have to ask again, are you referring to the word or you are referring to some other words? So that's why we normally will quote out Hebrew words, because they give us synonymous words that are closest to what was written then. Do you see that? All right. So you see that if somebody has, I'm not too good in tree. I don't know where it came from today. My first time in so many, I don't know, but I'm just following the lead. Maybe there's someone today. I don't know. Maybe there's someone today who needed a tree song. I don't know. So, we'll take it like that. So that's why we quote Hebrew and Greek. It's not to show that we are smart or we are trying to say you didn't go to Bible school. Not exactly. We just want to help us all. We are helping us all see the word the way it was written. Did you see that? Okay, so that's why we look at teaching and then we say let's look at didasco. Is that clear? So turn to your neighbor and say didasco. See, that's teaching. Don't forget. All right. So he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So he's teaching them to observe. Now, the word didasco, of course, means you teach by helping the learner understand why and how. And of course, by that teaching, you're going to teach by precepts and by example. So you're teaching to understand why and how. Say, why do you do this? Say, I don't really know. I just do it. No, you don't just have to do it. Somebody who is going to be teaching them to observe all things is going to be teaching them why. Then how. Then it becomes more clearer to us. So he says, teaching them to observe all things, all things. So if Jesus was walking with his disciples, he was, of course, he taught them all things. So he's expecting them to also teach others all things. If I was with him, I'll ask a lot of questions like, Jesus, why do you have to spit into the sand? Mix it. Why don't you just say, eyes be open? Why? Why did you have to walk on water? Was it necessary? Okay, you tell me why. How do you walk on water? All right, so Jesus, we've seen some very amazing things that you have done, but we still don't understand why. Why do you at a point in time pick children and lay hands on them? What does it mean? Okay, how do you do it? Because if you're going to lay hands on them, do you just say, you say, where can you lay hands on? Yeah, open your armpits. Why? Why do you touch their heads or their parts, some certain parts of the body? Why? Why is touch important? So he would have taught them all things. So my duty as a pastor to teach you all things. I don't have to assume. If I went into a meeting and I said, everybody come, I'm going to lay hands on you. You are going to assume that you know what it means, but I'm telling you, you do not know. Okay, why is it that they don't touch your chest, but then they go for your head? Why? You see, but you have sent your head to so many places. And they've touched. You don't know what it means. Say, pastor, cash. Say, pastor, I'm in trouble. Because the number of heads or the number of hands that have met my head. So Jesus was going to teach them all things. He was going to teach. He was going to teach. Why is this happening? He would teach. Why do you do this? He would teach. Why? So this morning, I showed you Matthew 28 to help us see that everything that happens within the local church is supposed to be taught and explained. It's supposed to be taught and explained. I'm not supposed to assume as a pastor that you know why. So it's going to be one of those teachings where we pay attention to this particular art. And I'm certain that by the time this teaching is done, as a local assembly, we will know how to receive it. And then we're going to see God move in powerful ways. Amen. Because once you get to understand, it becomes a very mighty tool that you can use. So one of the things I want to say before I get into the teaching, it's going to be a short teaching, is that as a church, we recognize and we receive this ministry. And now I'm talking to you about laying on of hands. Yes. So I tried to find another thing, but he said I should preach this one. So we're going to look at laying on of hands. Laying on of hands. It is true. Actually, very true that in some parts of the world, touch means a lot. How many of us, our parents have never touched us in a very passionate way? Me, number one. Like they say, there's no. How many of us have a lot of nice touches from our fathers? Mothers, they touch you. They touch. Or they hug you passionately. As for me, I grew up in the north. There's no emotion. Like everybody's very busy. We didn't grow up. Hey, get out and go to school. So, at some parts of the world, touch is very important, very sensitive. You know, in some parts of the world, when people who are of strong affiliation meet, one of the ways they greet each other passionately is by holding their shoulders. It's like you extend your hands and you hold the shoulder and the other holds your shoulder. It means that we have a very deep kind of affection. Ghana here means nothing. But you see, Ghana here, you've not gone to anywhere. We have all not gone to anywhere. So you see that in some countries, people who touch, a pat on the back means a lot to somebody. Without words, Not with words, not with a lot of explanations, without words, a pat on the back. Right? A pat on the back. Some countries, they don't even go past touch. They wobble their head like this. And it means a lot. So you meet someone, the person is doing, what is wrong with your neck? I mean, is there something wrong with you? So there are times where when someone is grieving, you see that a simple touch means a lot. It communicates a lot. You know, one time I remember, I met somebody who was going through a difficult time. And it was quite a leading. So I remember just holding the person. And then I brought the person close by. And I never said a word. I never said, like, don't worry, everything is going to be fine. You are okay. Everything is going to work out. You know, be strong, my brother, or be strong, my sister. You want to know whether it's a brother or sister, isn't it? I won't tell you. So, okay, choose your own. Anyone you choose does it. So I told the person, I didn't tell the person anything. But then, by the time I was done holding the person said, that meant a lot to me. That did something to me. How many of us have had people hug us, hold us, pat us, and it meant something, something significant? Yeah. Because in these actions are very key transmissions of certain important verities. Of course, spiritual and natural, but we are sticking to the natural. So there's a reason why you touch. Now, it's even said that when a child is born, I'm sure most of us know that, the ladies will know that, is that within the first few minutes of the birth of a child, they hand over the child to the mother and she holds the child closely to her chest, comforting the child and covering the child and securing the child and making sure that the child is fine. Medically is proving that children who do not have this exposures turn out not turning well in a certain way. So you find them socially affected. It's like there's no bonding. There's something wrong with their social connections. At times also, it is said that it's true. What I'm telling you is not, if your hospital, they didn't do it for you. That's why you are like that. Oh, no, that was a joke. That was a joke. Please don't penalize me. The pastor is saying that hurt me. Some of you too, they did it for you, but you were too crooked, so you don't feel it. You don't feel it. Yeah, but it said that it happens, you know, and when that happens, you know, the child's heartbeat is very stable. And it's done for like approximately 45 minutes to an hour. Put a child there. And then the child lies with the mother. So children who do not have this is proving they are sort of like affected in a way. It's also said that it helps in brain development. It's like your brain is maybe we didn't hug you so much. You know, even, you know, some people, when you want to show them love, they say, hey, why? Like, what? I mean, sit down. You like this one too much. You sit down. So, you see, I really love you. Say, why do you love me? I'm trying to hold your hand. I'm trying to say, no, hey, no. No, no, don't hold my hand. Hey. Am I preaching? Am I? Okay, sit down. You tell someone, I really love you. The person looks at you like, what are you saying? I mean, what are you saying? So maybe what we have to investigate is your touch. Sense of touch. Maybe your mother didn't hold you. very, very well. So, you see that all these are benefits of touch to the child. And it goes a long way into helping their development. So those of you who don't know how to express love, you have to start to learn. Like someone says, can you please pick that? Hey, can you? You are just sitting here. Just stretch. I mean, you can stretch and pick it. No, but you are closer. That's why the person asked you to pick it for them. Anyway, we're still on lane over. So, you see that all of these things are very important. And these things I'm teaching you are true. You can go and find out if what I'm telling you to do. So, physical touch, you know, can become a visible expression of an invisible relationship. Look at Jeremiah 1 verse 9. Let me show you something important for our study. So I said that physical touch can become a visible expression of an invisible relationship or a contact or an invention, right? See Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Pay attention. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. So the touch was just a touch, right? Of course, it's a visionary touch, but then I'm showing you touch. So the Lord stretched forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put words in thy mouth. So that touch, you know, when that touch, we can say that touch was words. That touch was words. Let me say, it was just a normal touch. You are somebody that does not understand what a touch means. That's what you're saying. Even, you know, when the COVID came, even touches became very important. Like, please, be careful. Don't touch me. Everybody was careful about touch. Just even touch, it becomes a problem. So in the same way, God stretched forth his hand and he touched the lips of Jeremiah. And that touch was in words. I remember how a man of God touched me in a meeting. And words were given to me. Yes, I suddenly left the meeting. I was telling those who were around. I said, something about my writing has changed. I don't know what has changed. I don't know. What has changed? But I'm able to articulate what is on my heart better. And it was after the touch. So I got to find out he had written over how many books? I don't know. Over 80 books, 90 books. I said, this thing was coming from a touch. It was coming from a touch. I'm telling you, I know my writing ministry after then. What I can explain it was that, you know, sometimes there's something in your heart. You want to write it, but you don't know how to write what is in your heart. There began to be an articulation right from my hands to my heart. I could pick what was on my heart and say it, like write it in words. What is exactly on my heart? I could write what was on my heart in words. So then I said, that must have been a touch. I had a touch, few days ago. I'm still looking out for what that touch is. I'm still trying to find out what the touch is. Yeah, touch. So I'm saying, where's the element of the touch? So I'm trying to find out. So you see that when you are supernatural or spiritual, a touch means something. It means something. So Jeremiah, the Lord stretches forth his hand and touched his lips. And suddenly he had words to prophesy. Words, he was already prophesying. Words were given to him by a touch. By a touch. Some of you, after today, when you stand close to anybody who is supernatural, you know, I was walking by somebody, I was in a meeting, and someone passed by me. I said, you know, while the person was a distance away, I started noticing who the person was. So I said, who is this person that seems to have Something that is very strong. These are spiritual realities, I'm telling you. Who is this that seems to have something very strong? So I said, there must be someone around. There must be someone around. So I kept looking around and I realized it was an usher. Yes, it was an usher. So I said, there must be someone around. There must be someone around. And I started sensing it quite a distance away. But as he drew closer, it became more tangible. So I remember him walking just in the pew, walking. I said, it's you. So I stretched forth my hand and I just touched him. That was all. That was all. I said, when I'm done teaching you this, look, anything anybody has, you'll be able to collect via touch. Amen. I'm telling you a real life story, yeah? I was at Circle. I was with my pastor. I don't know, pastor, if you remember that day. I don't know if he remembers. Where I was walking with you, and there was a man who had a ring on his finger, who stretched out his hand, and I told him, stretch forth, and he touched my head at Circle. I don't know what he was trying, but I believe he was trying to hypnotize me. Yeah. So he stretched forth. I felt the ring. I felt the ring in his hand. He removed his hand and I was just walking. So he stood in front of me like this and he stretched out and he touched my head. So when he touched my head, I realized he quickly removed his hand. Quickly removed his hand at Circle. Removed his hand quickly. So I started saying, what are you trying to do? I was also trying to see whether I could touch him also. You know, when power meets power, we see which one happens. So the place became quite pandemonious because people came around, you know, trying to find out like why are you. So you see, even somebody who is not a believer understands what it means to touch. To touch. He touched. I mean, if I was going to be very real, there was a heat in his hand. I literally felt it when he touched my head. He was not afraid. He stood close to me like I was walking. He came out of the sand. He stood close to me like this. And I saw him and he touched my head. So when he touched me, he removed it like he had, you know, like a hot object. He removed it. So I said, hey. Real life story. I'm not telling you something that's a joke. Real life. I saw it with my own eyes. Yeah. I don't know what he was trying to collect, but I'm sure that there was something supernatural. So there's something about a touch. And as a local assembly, I'm going to teach us how. See, if by the time we're done with the teaching, somebody will have something. You will not tell the person that give it to me. You yourself, now, you just say, this person, where's the person? Oh, Auntie So-so, how are you? How are you doing? Auntie So-so, where? You just, you know, this one is touch and collect. Without the person's notice. Without the person's notice. That's why when we are praying in supernatural meetings, I tell you people, when you see someone who has a fire and a zeal for prayer, just go close and hold. It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. Take your seats. So, God stretches forth his hand. Then he touches Jeremiah's lips. Then suddenly, words are coming from everywhere for him to be spoken. In fact, he said he has put words. The touch was words. But words is not a tangible thing. We can't catch words. But he said, I've put words. I put words. So we're going to do a study. I'm going to teach you patiently. We're going to do a study. I'm not going to rush it. I'll show it to you. We'll start from Genesis. We'll go all through to Revelation. That's what I'm saying. We won't finish today. We'll exhaust every touch. Every touch. We'll see it. We'll see it. By the time we're done, you know, this morning, evening or morning. Morning. Yeah. I came home this evening and I saw him, I said, why? Are you fine? He said, he was not feeling so well. So I said, okay, you know what, I got him something. And I said, when you're done, just come to my room. So he came to my room and I prayed for him shortly. But then I believe the Lord was teaching me. Normally the Lord teaches me a few things. He teaches me a few things. So, I mean, he teaches me all things, but this is what I'm saying. Like, what's this? So if I get trouble, you see, so, I teach you a few things. I'm sorry. You know, so I called him. Then I prayed for him. Then I just felt led in my heart. Just hold his hands. So I held his hands. And then I said, you're healed. Just demonstrate your faith. You're healed. There are many people I've seen by touch that have been healed instantly. So he went back. And then how are you feeling? You are very well. But he was actually, like, he was sick in a blanket. He was sick in a blanket. By a touch and words. By a simple touch. By a simple touch. I remember some time back. What? No, that one was not a touch. It was just my presence. I remember sitting close to a lady. No, I must have touched it because I hacked it some way, somehow. Maybe something, I don't know. But then she said, I was not feeling well. I have very strong headache, like right now. But when you just came, the thing is gone. So there are certain times. I don't know what God is trying to do. Maybe God is trying to stir up. I don't know, but we'll get to it. I believe so. By a simple touch. I've touched certain parts of people who were sick and growths disappear. Just by a touch. Just a touch. Just touch. Just touch. So we're going to do an extensive study. Take your seats. Let's go to Genesis. Some of you, you will be touching, you will be collecting things that people will not know. It happens. So it happened. The woman with the issue of blood. She didn't say that, you know, when I go to Jesus, he's a protocol man. When I touch him, he's like, no, just the helm. Something small. Something small. I don't need so much. Forget those things. Me, I told someone that. Me, the way my mind works, there is nothing that I want that I can't receive from anyone. I know how to collect. If it is to bend down, I'll bend down and collect. If it's to lie down, I'll lie down and collect. If it's just to gauge and touch, I'll gauge and touch. Yeah. Some of you are going to be collecting certain things. The person will not even know. Sometimes the person, oh, you're welcome. Just a handshake, you have already collected. Genesis chapter 48. I'm going to show you. Are you being blessed? So I shouldn't have changed the sermon, you see. Isaiah 48. Today, I wanted to read the AMP version, but I didn't have an AMP Bible, so I had to. So Isaiah 48. Sorry, Genesis 48. Genesis 48. And we're going to have a long read. I'm reading from the AMP version. Verse 1. Genesis 48. Verse 1. Now, some time after these things happened, Joseph was told, your father is sick. So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, with him to go to Goshen. So Joseph was told that his father was sick. So he gathered his two sons. So when Jacob, who was Israel, was told, look now, your son Joseph has come to you. Israel strengthened himself and sat up in the bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz, which is in Bethel, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and numerous, and I will make you a great company of people, and will give you this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. I'll take verse 4 again. Pay attention to the details of verse 4. He says that when the Lord appeared to him, the Lord said to him, he will make him fruitful and numerous, and he will make him a great company of people, and will give the land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. Verse 5. Now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are my sons. So this is, I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. So this is Joseph, right? Who was told that his father, Jacob, was not well. So Jacob is the elderly man. He's told that his father is not well. So he's going to pick his two sons, which is Ephraim and Manasseh, and he's going to go with them to see his sick father, who happens to be Israel or Jacob. Are we all on the same page? Okay. So when they went, verse 6, but other sons were born to, no, verse 5, sorry. Now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine. That is adopted as my heirs and sons as surely as Reuben and Simeon are my sons. But other sons who were born to you after them shall be your own. They shall be called by the names of their two brothers in their inheritance. Now as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the journey, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath. Verse 8. When Israel, who was almost blind, saw Joseph's son, he asked, who are these? It's like I'm seeing some two small boys. I can't really see. I'm sick. But who are these sons? Joseph said to his father, they are my sons, whom God has given me here in Egypt. So he said, please bring them to me so that I may bless them. Now Israel's eyes, which is Jacob's eyes, were so dim from the age. So he couldn't see. All he could see, but it's not too clear. Then Joseph brought them close to him and first off, pay attention, he kissed, then he embraced them. We're looking at laying on of hands. He kissed, then he embraced them. Now look at what happened. Now Israel's eyes were so dim from that age that he could not see clearly. Then Joseph brought them to him and he kissed and embraced them. Israel said to Jacob, I never expected to see your face, but see, God has shown me your children as well. Then Joseph took the boys from his father's embrace and he bowed before him. See, I'm teaching you how to be intentional in certain environments. You see, when they are laying hands, we're going to see it. We're taking a pattern. We're going to see the pattern, right? Because the pattern helps you to receive rightly as you should. So, Israel's eyes were so dim, he couldn't see. Verse 12. Joseph took the boys from his father's embrace and he bowed before him and his face to the ground. Then Joseph took both of them, Ephraim, to his right hand towards Israel's left and Manasseh with his left hand towards Israel's right. And brought them close to him. So these are two boys who are being brought. Of course, there's bowing, there's acknowledgement of somebody who is of a higher spiritual authority. Who's going to confer a blessing? So he brings the two sons, right? Okay, two people should come. Let me show you. Okay, it's fine. One, two. You are both guys. So that it will be Ephraim and Manasseh. Were you? So this is Manasseh. And then this is Ephraim. Ephraim is younger. Manasseh is older. It means nothing. It's just an illustration. So this is the elder brother. Okay, someone who is shorter. Come. It doesn't mean anything, please. So this is Manasseh. And then this is Ephraim. Manasseh and Ephraim. So He said, bring them close. So, you know, his eyes were dim. So, there's an activity that happened. Jacob, while he had his hands on them, he pushed this to the left. So come this way. Then he pushed this to the right. Right? Okay, come this way. Come back this way. Right. So let me hold the microphone. So you come this way. So this is elder, this is younger. Younger. So come this way. So he pushed him. So you come back. Come back. So this is the right hand. This is the left hand. Right? The elder brother. The younger. So come back this way. So the elder, the younger. The right hand, the what? The left hand. So you are the right hand. No, you are the originally left hand. And then you are originally what? Right hand. So, if I'm going to lay hands on you, I'm going to have to lay hands on him with my right hand because he is the eldest. And I'm going to lay hands on the left hand because he is the what? He is the youngest. But then, he switches the arms. So the right arm, the right hand was switched to the lower son. And then the left arm was switched to the elder one. So, Joseph saw it and became quite agitated. Because, I mean, that's the eldest. But then why do you, move him to the left? And then you put this person to the right. And then you are about to speak a blessing. So, while he was about to do that, Jacob said, no, don't think I'm blind, so I don't know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Let me read it. Still standing. So, in verse 11, he says, now Israel's, verse 12, Joseph took the boys, they bow down. Joseph took them both, Ephraim to his right hand towards Israel's left, and Manasseh to his left hand towards Israel's right, and brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger one, and to his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands intentionally, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then Jacob, Israel, blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked in faith, full obedience, the God who has been my shepherd, leading and caring for me all my life's day, today, the angel that is of the Lord himself, who has redeemed me continually from all evil, bless the boys. And may my name live on in them. May they be worthy of having their names linked to mine. Originally, their names were not linked to his because they were not his direct sons. But then he's now speaking words. He says that there's a God who has been before me, my father, Abraham, Isaac. They've walked with them. That God who has been my shepherd, who has led me all through my life. Then he now says, there's a particular angel that flows with me. That is the Lord himself. He has continually redeemed me from all kinds of evil. Then he was blessing the boys. Then he now said, my name will live in on them forever. I mean, my name will live in on them. May they be worthy of having their names linked with mine and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And may they grow into a great multitude in the midst of the earth. Verse 17, when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand on Ephraim's head, it displeased him because he was not the firstborn, and he grasped his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Place your right hand on Manasseh's head. But his father refused and said, I know. Manasseh also will become a people and he will be great. So, look at what's happened. There is greatness that's being conferred. There is a multitude of people that's being conferred by the laying on of hands and by the words that are proceeding forth from the mouth of Israel. Joseph said to his father, not so, my father. This is the firstborn. Place your right hand. Nope. Says both of them will be great, but his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude. Then Jacob blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will pronounce a blessing, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. And he put Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and bring you back to Canaan, the land of your fathers. So we see this is the first time. Okay, take your seats. We see that this is the first time that this happens in the Bible. And normally we want to pay attention to these instances. And the first time that it happens is that there is a release of a blessing. There's a release of a blessing. There's an exchange of authority. An exchange of authority. You know, some people want to say, the ministry of laying on of hands is passed in the New Testament. Oh boy. I'm going to show you New Testament maybe next week. We can't do that. Laying on of hands is spiritual. It's scriptural. It's biblical. Are you listening? It's biblical. So, there's a blessing that is being released. And of course, here, the person laying on of hands is transmitting that by touch, intentional touch, such that you giving me the left hand from the right hand means another thing. I was telling someone that, you know, and this is honestly true. And I know some of you would have experienced that, because a number of you have told me that. How many of you have seen that there's a particular hand of yours that seems to be responsive to an atmosphere, the anointing, the power of God? It's like there's a weight in one hand than the other. Or you feel more of the times a tingling. You have two hands, but you don't feel it in the two. How many of us have had those experiences? Yeah. Which hand is it? Somebody's also saying left. It's good. We're not. But it looks like right has a majority. Right? Okay. So this is Ephraim, Manasseh. Switch. And then there are blessings that are being pronounced. Laying on of hands. And this ministry comes with a blessing. It comes with a blessing. Of course, not because the person who lays hands is God, but because God sets him as an authority to transmit that which God wants to transmit to the people. Of course, God is going to have to use somebody. He's going to have to use a man to transmit those blessings. Now, in this particular story, I want you to be smart. The blessings there was the multitude. It was the greatness. So when somebody lays hands on you, you know, sometimes even utterances can be coming. I'll show you that we are not yet there. But then the person can just say, You are going to be great, or may you be great, or something. I don't know. But you see that greatness is conferred, is given. You would have thought, they said, you know, to be great, let me give you one Lamborghini. I have a house at East Legon. My eyes are dim. So let me just, you know, I have an inheritance, but I'll give it to you. Ephraim, I really want to see you do very, very well. So, I have my bank account is this. The password is 222444. Don't tell anybody. You would have thought that was greatness. But the conferring of that was happening by the laying on hands. Of course, God is going to use the person as the medium. Why will he have to do that? So we all can be humble. We can all receive from one another. The me, I all receive from God. Your spiritual life, you will tire. You will suffer. You will suffer. Something that somebody has. Just humble yourself and take it. So no, oh no, I mean, why should I allow you to lay hands on me? I know God, I have a personal walk with God. There are personal things you have with God you will never receive from God. I'm telling you, take it from me. Because he will use a man. His method is that he uses men. Man is his image. When you see another man being used by God, that's the method that he uses. Are you listening? Great. That's why your whole Bible, he didn't come and say, I am the Lord your God. Bible, come out from the earth. The Bible doesn't come. When you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, a man wrote that. Ezekiel, a man wrote it. Jeremiah, a man wrote it. Now you will have to believe that a man wrote it and that man was inspired by God. You will have to believe it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, by men. Acts, by a man. The entire Bible, by men. So God is even giving out his word through the writings of men. He wants you to receive from men. Learn how to receive from men. Learn how to receive from men. Be smart. Your journey will be faster. I said that when I went somewhere to go and receive laying on of hands as a reverend, I wasn't looking for the title. No, I was just looking for contact. That was all. I'm so smart. I mean, clerical. You can have clerical. You are suffering in ministry. You know, I just wanted a touch. If you touch me once in life, I'm fine. I don't need several touches. Just one. I was looking for one my whole life. I said, Lord, how will I get this thing? That means that I have to get it. So I was looking for touch. I was looking for a way for a greater blessing to be conferred quietly. I was looking for a touch. Some of you, you don't, but from today, you're going to say that, Pastor, you don't have to even say it. Sometimes you don't even have to tell Pastor that, Pastor, this is what is wrong with me. You now, you come with your own mind. You say this thing. And you know, I like to shake a lot of the times, many of the times. You say, oh, Pastor. A transmission has happened. You know, at a point in time, I was very disturbed by something. Take your seat. So I called my pastor. And I said, there's something I don't really understand. And I'm not sure what it is. Because I could be standing with somebody on the street and I touch the person and the person falls. So I came to her, I said, this thing, is it a good thing to have? Because how do you, I mean, not a Holy Ghost place. No, just walking. You say, are you going? Yes, I'm going. Oh, I'll see you, Charlie, next time. Shake. Gone. Touch. So I said, that's why we have to investigate it. But these things happen via touches. So Ephraim is receiving a blessing that is greater than Manasseh because of a touch, because of a switched touch. That's all. The switch touch with the words backing it. That's all. The blessing has been given. Somebody is trying to say, no, 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 this is the first. He said, no. He said, no, no, this is the first. That's why you see, when you see people going for hands to be laid on them in a meeting, I'm teaching you how to be intelligent. Like you can grow, you can receive things. You see that in some meetings, you see people going, you say, you see people going forward for laying on of hands. Then you see that someone is saying, it's not important. I mean, the words have already been spoken. Then you see one guy in the crowd busy trying to say, hey, hey, touch me, just touch me. Just touch me. Huh? Just a touch. You know, I met a certain man of God. I said, I will not ask you to pray for me. Just one handshake. We are done with our conversation. One. Just one, not two. One. I've pushed. The expectation is high. The faith is heightened. Just, yes, please, Pascal, how are you doing? That's all. You see people moving forward. Say, hands. 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 Because they understand what it means to receive a touch. So Ephraim is being blessed with a greater blessing than his brother. Yeah, than his brother. So his brother has a lesser blessing and he receives a greater blessing by touch. So we see that in Genesis 48, of course, blessings can be transmitted to one by hands laid. And God establishes that as the means through which spiritual transmissions or transactions take place. It's one of the means. It's one of them. It's not so much. It's one of them. One of them. By touch. Laying on of hands. He laid hands on him on the head. And he conferred a blessing on them. So when you see Ephraim multiplying to a certain magnitude, then Manasseh, you are also trying to multiply to a certain magnitude. It doesn't work like that. There's something that makes the multiplication very possible. There's a blessing that seems to be working. It seems to be working. It seems to be working. It seems to be working. There's a blessing that seems to be working. How was the blessing received? By words and obviously by touch. Yeah. By touch. So you find out that they can ask Ephraim and Manasseh, who gave you this blessing? And he can point and say, Israel. Israel gave it to me. He's the one that provoked that blessing. Israel. Israel. Israel gave it to me. How? Did he give you his bank account number? So that's why all these people are responding. No, he didn't give me bank account. He just spoke words and he touched. That was all. Then he now calls them his. He says, these ones are mine. Manasseh is mine. I'm not their father. I'm Jacob. I'm Israel. I'm not their father. But they are mine. He incorporates them into a family that allows them experience of a blessing that he has experienced. They are now mine. So though they can be said, oh, they are your sons, but they're not your sons. This blessing is not coming from you. It's because they're mine. They're mine. There are certain inheritances that I have or that I may have received that will come on as many that desire. Because as hands are laid, those things are conferred. Those things are said. Those things are spoken. God, through the vessel, uses that to transmit what he intends to have you receive. It's true. Now, see, hey, pastor, that means that, hey, that means all this time where we've been touching, hugging, holding hands, it means something. It means something. You just didn't know. Sometimes I hold somebody, they think I've prayed for you. You just didn't know. But from now that, you see, knowledge is very powerful. So you see things happen. Like, those that we are tired of always telling you to pray for this thing. Now you've taught us a certain mechanism. There's a certain way we can have it happening. It's that when we see you and we touch, we see someone else that has something that we desire, and we just shake hands, and we see somebody that does something, spiritual growth, strength, verity, beauty, specialty, peculiarity, something. It's like, you know, and that's how the church is going to receive shared graces. I'm teaching you how. It's not just from me alone. It's like what you see in another, you collect. Say, I collect. Now you say, oh, I can, you can really sing over me. It's like my voice is very, I say, can you just lay hands? Can you just lay hands? Say, sister, brother, I you know, I'm being blessed, but no, mean it. I've seen people who could not sing and hands were laid on them. And suddenly they start to become better at their singing. They couldn't sing before. Touch. They are, you know, sometimes even something as intelligence, like anything you see, just anything that I think I see this. I love it. It's beautiful. It's like you are beautiful, but they said I'm ugly. Sister, always just hold my hand a few minutes. Like your ministry, there's something peculiar about your ministry. I see that thing in your ministry. I don't know, but there's something about your ministry. It's like the way you do it. It's like, I'm not seeing it like that. Can you? It's like, not pray for me. Oh. No, it's not pray for me. It's touch. Just touch. Touch. So pastor, was it like this all this while? It was like this all this while. All this while, you touch, then your eyes are open. So it's like I'm seeing. There's something I seem to be seeing, visions. I don't know where it's coming from, but I seem to be seeing something. It's touch. Is it touch? Not only in spiritual atmospheres. Even when you go to your bosses and they shake you like good morning, you can say, ah, there's an intelligence that seems to be working with. But from now, I'm very intangible. I know how to collect it. Take your seats. Let's see some more. Touch. Look at Numbers 27. Numbers 27. If you have ever been with me in a meeting and somebody passed by and I did this, I was collecting something. You just didn't know. You just didn't know. I was collecting something. I said, this thing, I like it. How do I get it? Touch. Numbers 27. Look at Numbers 27 again. Numbers 27:15. Okay, I'm going to wait for you to get to Numbers. The time is flying, I tell you. It's like this. Numbers 27, verse 15. Numbers 27, verse 15. We're looking at laying on of hands. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. The God of the spirits of all flesh. He sets a man over a congregation, which may go out before them. which may go out before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. So this was when Moses was dying. But then there's the God of the spirit of all flesh, which is God, which wants to have somebody set in Moses' stead. So he says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to choose a leader. That leader will go out, come in before them. They will lead them. They will bring them out so that the congregation is as a sheep without a shepherd. So then God says, and God said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. This is God. Let's all be humble. You know, God could have just said, Moses, go and die. I am the Lord your God. Go and die. I will choose somebody and present them to the people and show them. And God says, no. He's speaking to Moses. He said, go and call Joshua. Joshua is the one I've chosen. Bring him before the people. And you, Moses, not me, God. You, Moses. You, Moses. I was telling someone that, don't despise any man of God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Look, God is speaking to him to go and bring the guy. Then he tells Moses that you use your hand and lay it upon him. Wow. Lay thine hand upon him. The way God even says it is very interesting. It's like, you, your hand, lay it on him. Then 19, and set him before Eleazar. Maybe I understand why. Maybe I was ordained, so well. And set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. It means commission him in their sight. It's like, God is saying that you are moving out of the scene. Joshua. We're a prophetic church, I tell you. No, take your seats. Take your seats. He says, put him before the people. You, now, Joshua, use your hand and put it upon him. Let him stand before the people and commission him. It means give him a charge that from today, you are of the Lord. You are ordained by God. You are commissioned. You are sent with a mission or with a purpose. Verse 20, pay attention. And thou shalt put some of thine honor. Hey, I thought people were honorable. But Lord, you are saying that I should put the honor, the weight that I have. The honor. You know, I told someone, I said, it's because you are talking to me of, if you see me like that, you can't talk the way you are talking to me. You know, there's some people who are dignified. I mean, you are dignified and honorable. Like at their sight, you can see honor. It's like there's a nobility that comes with that. There's a power that makes people respond to their words. It's an authority that God gives. It's something that God does. You know, the reason why you keep explaining to your disciple, trying to say that, is because there's some honor that has not been conferred. When there's honor conferred, when there's honor put on you by God, not by God through his vessel, it's going to be through his vessel. I don't need. Remember Ephraim and Manasseh. Remember Ephraim. Let's be spiritual. Please don't do that. Look here. Don't do it. We should be sensitive. It's an atmosphere. So we're supposed to be open and sensitive. The teaching should rot out something supernatural.
So he says, there's going to be an honor that I put on you. That honor that made Miriam and Aaron to speak against you. And I, the Lord God myself, I came in and I said, who are you to speak against my servant Moses? Why are you gossiping about my servant Moses? Who gave you the authority to tell him what woman to choose? I mean, where are you from? Suddenly, Miriam is leprous. That honor that is upon Moses, that honor that is upon, that causes God to respond to him as Moses, says that honor, you will take your hand and you will put it on him, which happens to be Joshua. Now, Joshua will stand before the people and he will communicate my counsel to them. From that day, the people will hear the words of Joshua just like they heard the words of Moses. It will not conflict. It will not be different. From that day. From that day. Take your hand. Put it upon him. Give him a charge before the sight of the people. You pick what is upon him. Then you put it on him. Now I know why. Probably may know why. Just follow the leading of God's word. It's a teaching. It's a teaching. Don't be distracted. It's a teaching. So he picks what is upon him. He puts it on him. That honor that causes Moses to have digressions with God. God, would you kill these people? Abba now. Huh? What if they are 40? I don't know. What if they are 30? I don't know. What if they are 20? I don't know. What if they are 10? I don't know. There's an honor. That honor, you pick some. Then you would put it. You would pick some. And you will put it. That thing that makes people respond. Just touch. That's all. You will pick it. You will put it. I don't know what I received a couple of days back. You will put it. You will pick it. Lord, how is he able to see? He said, you will pick it. And you will put it. Remember, Ephraim said, the angel of the Lord that moved and worked with me, that same angel help you. You just pick. And he will put. He will pick. And he will put. You put some honor upon him that all the congregation will be obedient. Obedience doesn't come from trying to, no, there's something that God confers. That God confers. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim. You can take your seats. That's the atmosphere. That is it. That's how it's supposed to be. Just those lines, don't distort. Don't stop anybody. Just flow in the teaching. We're flowing. Don't stop anybody. Just your own moment. Just the teaching is going on and then the demonstrations are happening. So he says, make him stand before the people. You put some honor upon him that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel of him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua, and he set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hand upon him and gave him a charge. And the Lord commanded by the hands of Moses. Now, interestingly, Moses was not a priest. We are still teaching. Moses was a military commander. He was being commissioned to go and fight wars. But then, Moses still had to lay hands on him. This thing, it goes beyond spiritual stuff. Like, sometimes even it has an effect on your natural life. Like money. You know? A grace for something, properties, a grace for something. Just there's a strength it also comes to, because Joshua in his laying of hands was going to be strong in battle. He was going to know how to navigate his way throughout every war to make sure that Israel prevailed all the time. All the time, God's army was going to be winning. So Joshua had hands laid on him. then he transmitted a blessing upon him. It's a conferring of honor. A conferring of, you know, it's unexplainable and it's undescribable. You can't explain it with words. Yes. Maybe likability. It's also the grace of God. You get into places and people just want you around. They would want to do something for you. There's a graciousness that comes with it. So he says, just lay hands on him. And he did. Let me show you our last laying on of hands scripture. 2 Kings. Today we are sticking to only Old Testament examples. 2 Kings. 2 Kings. 2 Kings. 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings 13. And we're going to read from verse 14. 13. We're going to read from verse 14. Of course, just like Israel, who is dim and almost dying, Joshua is almost going. Yeah, he's almost off the scene. It's like he's done. He's almost done. Maybe let's say almost done. Off the scene. Then here is the prophet of God, Elisha, who is also sick and is about to go. 2 Kings 13, verse 14. Now Elisha was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrow. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow, and put his hand, and he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. So Elisha is dying. And this is Joash, who is a fighter. He's crying out to Elisha, says, The chariots thereof are about to take off. You're about to go. Then he now said, Pick the bow and arrow. So Joash picked the bow and arrow. They said, Lay my hand on the bow and arrow. I mean, lay my hand on your hand. Verse 16. And he said to the king of Israel, of course, who was also a military man, he's going to fight some battles. Let me read from the AMP version. Verse 16. Then he said to the king of Israel, Put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hands. And he said, Open the window to the east. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And Elisha said, The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria for you will strike the Arameans in Afik until you have destroyed them. Verse 18. Then he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, Strike the ground. And he struck it 3 times. And he stopped. So the man of God was angry with him and said, You should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck down Aram until you have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only 3 times. That's an instruction. He's telling him that you are Elisha. I'm the prophet. You are King Joash, who is going to have some battles. I'm going to lay hands on your tool of work. So put your hand there. He put his hand there. Then he put his hand on him. Then he declares, this is victory. This is victory for you, O people. This is victory for you, O people. Then he now opens the window. Then he says, shoot. So Joash, there's a strike. So Joash stroke. Then he stopped. Then the prophet said, why did you stop? You should have hit quite some time. But that strike, which is once or three times, means you will only defeat them only after that you'll be defeated dangerously. Now, this is what it means. We're looking on laying of hands. We'll not look at what it means to strike multiple times. There's also what it means to strike multiple times. But then you see that Elisha the prophet is conferring a certain spiritual significance over Joash, choosing him rightly as the one that represents the counsel of God before the people. That's what it meant. It means that I've chosen you to stand rightly as the one that is before the people. That's a commissioning. So now, I want us to pay attention. We're not going to do anything that we have not seen. Most of the things that we don't do as a local assembly, it's not that I don't know them. I want to teach you why before we start doing it. If not, you do it amiss. And some of them I may not teach you to do them. But we see that laying on of hands is on the head from Ephraim's example, right? Okay, so we see that there's a head and then there's a head that's laying on hands on. Then we see that, Elisha is laying hands where? On the hands. 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 Joshua, on the other hand, together with Moses, the Bible is not clear on where he had his hands laid. So there can be an assumption, a good assumption, that it was done on the head, because he would have had received a culture of knowing what to do when hands are to be laid. You know, everything that was written aforetime was written for our learning. So he would have had some scribes and he would have known how to confer a blessing. He would have known how to ordain, how to commission. He would have known. So we can say that we have it on the head and on the hands, right? Now, it also leaves us, that's an assumption. It also means that it could have been any way, anyhow, maybe on the shoulder. Because it's not stated. But then I'll show you different ones. But then these three will mean that it's on the head, it's on the hands, and it can be anywhere. I'll show you. Anywhere next to you, we may see it anywhere. Can be anywhere. It just has to be honorable. You don't say, hey, lay hands to a lady. No, I mean, you should be honest. So he's now saying, we see that there's hands laid on the head, there's hands laid on a presumptive part, whether on the shoulder, on the head. But I believe it's going to be on the head because he would have learned. He should have been someone who learned from the scriptures or from the available pattern of how things were running. It could have been on the shoulder. It could have been on the tummy. It could have been just a symbolic touch. When you are supernatural, you know how to flow with any of these. You don't say, it has to be here. He didn't touch my head. No. He didn't touch your head, but what if he did this? That's a touch. That's the way things can be transmitted. So, Joash, or Elisha, of course, acknowledges God's appointment of Joash as the leader. He acknowledges Joash. Joash, you are the leader. That's why I said, pick my hands. Put it on. Pick my hands. Put it on. Now, it was that meeting Joash had with Elisha that probably made him win 3 times. He could have lost all. You were going to lose all, Mr. Joash. But then there's a prophetic word that goes before you. So we're going to see in God's word how that utterances also come with laying on of hands to confer a blessing. So our teaching this morning is to see as a church the concept of laying on of hands in the Old Testament and what it signifies tangibly through these examples. And then, maybe afterwards, I'm going to explain the shaking, the falling. I'll explain it to you. I'll show you through God's word. So that when you see others respond, you don't say, oh, they are too... No, it's biblical. It's very scriptural. Hands were laid, or there was an experience, and somebody went dumb. It's in the Bible. And it's biblical. We finish a service and someone is dumb. They would have said there's a demonic spirit here. But that was the move of the spirit. Because that dumb stopped the person from saying something that they should not have said. And later on his tongue was loosed again. So, in this ministry, we are going to acknowledge and see it. It's like we're going to say that touch. Hey, Pastor, touch is a sacred thing. It's a sacred thing. Spiritual things are only spiritually discerned. Only those who are spiritual can discern what's going on. And by this, we're going to have multiplied effects, yes, of the beauty and the grace of God, amen, in our midst. Amen. Where it is official, it's okay. Where it is not, we know how to receive. The ministry of laying on of hands, is something that we are going to use intentionally as a ministry. We're going to use it. We'll know how to maneuver our way. We know how to maneuver. We know how to receive that ministry. We know how to work with it. And what that also means is that we also know how to use our hands.